Lord, we just come to you and we love you, Lord. We love you because we want more of you. We want to walk with you, Lord. We enjoy your word and the things that you give us out of your word, Lord, and the knowing that your protection is all upon us, Lord, and knowing, Lord, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that it shall be done. It's what you said, and we believe it. It's happened time and time and time again. We know that you love us because our prayers are answered. And we thank you, Father, that you're bringing us all into that bride being, Lord. And we thank you for that, because the bride is that special place, Lord, that you want your people to be in. You want us all to be in the bride, Lord. But we know that some people just are not going to get there because of their lack of interest right now. But Lord, we know that you're going to up that interest here shortly. And Father, we thank you that those who want to be in your bride, Lord, we do it by faith. We know that, and we believe that you're going to put us in there, Lord. And we're doing everything possible to get close to you, Lord. And when you do that, Lord, we are counted as righteous. And we know that you're going to have us all in there, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight and anointing each and every one of us, Lord, to speak those things, those revelations, those praise reports, anything, Lord, that you have that you want to glorify yourself with and to encourage the body with, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you do tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your presence in the name of Jesus. Well, okay. All right. We had a perfect day today here at, let's see. Somebody's not muted. Is that you, Shalonda? Do you know how to mute your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. You might want to try that until you're ready to speak. If you want to speak, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's because I'm coughing. That's why. And I don't want to interrupt.
Okay. All right. Lord, we just are, I lost my train of thought. What was it doing? Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray? Right now is the time.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead. Is it Vanessa?
Well, this is Vanessa.
Okay.
I would like you to pray for me. I had a dream that you prayed for me for to be more fervent and have more strength for spiritual warfare and stuff. And in the dream you did, and I really got more strong like that. And I thought, you know, maybe I should ask you to pray for me for that.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just lift up Vanessa to you, Lord, and you gave her dream, and her request is that she be a mighty warrior for you, Lord. And we know that just means that when she prays, you know, Lord, you're going to give her dreams and visions and things for her to pray about. And Father, when she prays, she knows that her prayers are going to be answered. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you are putting on her spiritual armor every time that she sees you, Lord. Every time she has a dream about something to pray about, Father, she's going to drop down as soon as she gets it and start praying for that person or that thing that's supposed to be prayed for, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a mighty warrior out of her in Jesus' name. In fact, you already have, Lord, and I thank you that you're even going to up the tempo a little bit, Father. And we thank you for these fiery trials in this month, Lord, that brings us into that patience and endurance that you want us to be in. Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in Vanessa. And matter of fact, I pray that for everybody too, Lord, that they would all be spiritual warriors for you, Lord, that the enemy would be scared every time they open their mouth because they know a whipping's coming. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for these mighty warriors that you are making here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
Me too.
Thanks.
Me too.
And Also in the dream, I don't know if you know what this is, but then you gave me a little booklet that David wrote. Do they have a book about that?
Matter of fact, they're editing a book now called, let me see. It's called Delivered from Dark Powers. It's a spiritual warfare book. So it'll be out. It'll be available very shortly. I think Brad's on the second to the last chapter.
Oh, okay.
When he gets through with that, Amber will put it on the, we'll get it all ready to put on, to give to Lulu. And it should, a couple of weeks, it ought to be out.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Yeah, it just depends on if he gets time, you know, to edit it. Editing takes a long time. You know, they have to go over it and make sure the English is right and the punctuations are right and all of that stuff. I don't know nothing about.
Yeah.
But it should be ready within the next month anyway. Hopefully by the time September rolls around, maybe the middle of September or something like that.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. All right. Anyway, that's where it is right now. All right. Anything else?
Hello, this is Angelica. I apologize.
Hey.
I jumped on a few minutes late.
Oh, that's okay. How you doing?
Bless you. Bless the Lord. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, girl.
I would like prayer for the Lord to give me just a new fervency for Him, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to give me a deeper hunger and thirst for righteousness, and just a deep relationship with the Lord, just that assurance that I know Him and He knows me, and that we have that relationship that is needed to continue on.
Amen. Well, Lord, you heard her request, and we thank you, Father, for honoring that and drawing her close to you, Lord, so she hears your words, everything that you say to her, Father. Every unction, every word, Lord, and all the things that you put in front of us, Lord, that you're talking to us with, Father. And I thank you that Angelica is getting real close to you. Lord, I just pray that for myself, and I pray that for everybody on here, Lord, that you draw us ever closer to you. Lord, as we run towards you like the Shulamite bride, Father, that you draw us close to you and we can hear your voice. And we love to just walk with you, Lord, and talk with you and have that personal one-on-one with you, Lord, and knowing that when you talk, we listen. And that when you want us to talk, Lord, that we say only the things that you want us to say. And Father, we thank you for that mighty hunger that you're placing in all of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You believe that, Angelica?
Amen. Yes, I do.
Me too. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anything else?
Hey, do you want me to share the braces I got for the Planet X? Oh, no. Hello?
Well, I was talking and I had the thing muted. I'm sorry. I say, we're going to go ahead and get the prayers over with first, if you can wait that long.
Yeah, I can wait. No problem. Sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay, we'll do that and then we'll see what you got, okay?
Okie dokie.
All right. Okay. Go ahead and mute your phone. So I don't hear you moving around in there. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray?
Yeah, Michael. It's Judy.
Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to pray for my oldest granddaughter. She's going to be going college Thursday. And this is the one the first one that they had that was diagnosed with autism when she was 2, or maybe even 1, but they said she wouldn't even be able to go to school, period. So she's come along. The Lord's just really been with her and just she's even driving. She doesn't drive on highways, you know, big roads and stuff. She just does back roads, but she just has come along so much. But this is her first time away. She's really fragile and naive and just kind of, I just want the Lord to really put a head of protection around her. So, dear Heavenly Father, I want to bring Ashley up to you. She's going to go to college Thursday, you know, and she's never been away from her family like this. And she just really needs a hedge of protection around her because she just really doesn't know. She's just very innocent and very, she's such a warm person. But, Lord, I just want you to put this protection around her, and I want you to take away this idea of Pokemon from her. She's always had this, and she just thinks it's just, you know, all good characters. But she doesn't have any understanding of what it is. And she doesn't really know God. Kind of scares her, I think, when I talk to her about him. But, Lord, you can make this whole situation that where she's going, that she can find a friend or someone that is a Christian that can really talk to her and tell her things, Lord. That's what I'm asking, that you really prepare her heart and get her ready for seeing new things and take this Pokemon on stuff away and just protect her as she goes to classes and be with her and give them a safe travel as they go there on Thursday and let everything go really great, Lord. I thank you so much for being with Ashley and protecting her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Judy, and we believe it's going to happen, Lord, that she's going to come running to you and throw Pokemon in the trash. Lord,
yes,
we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I got a tooth that's bothering me. I'd like prayer for my tooth.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that tooth to be healed in Jesus' name. We command the pain to go. We command any kind of infection to go in Jesus' name. We command healing in that tooth right now in the name of Jesus. Roots, you be healed. Tooth, you be healed. No infection, no decay, nothing in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that his tooth is healed in the name of Jesus. No more discomfort either in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen. You believe that, Marlon?
Amen.
Amen, brother. Me too. All right. Anything else?
I would like to pray for my cousin Ian about the video games, too.
Okay. You want to pray and let us believe with you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I pray that you open up my cousin Ian's heart and have him put down anything that's not of you. I pray that you lead him to the Lord and that he accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I pray that you give him a heart of flesh and instead of a heart of stone so that he gets to know you and want to get to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that our faith is hooked with hers, and this is going to happen in Jesus' name. We're looking for a miracle here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? All right. Anybody got a praise report or a testimony that they'd like to give?
Michael?
Yeah, Marlene, go ahead.
I want to praise the Lord for protecting my husband. He got stung by a bee, and in the past he has had reactions to that. But he said initially it swelled up, and then almost immediately it went down, and he hasn't had a problem. And that was early yesterday, I think. So I praise the Lord. I know the Lord did that for him. I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to worry about the hornets, the bees, or the wasps, Lord, because we're not under that curse in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else with a praise report, a testimony, or a prayer request?
I have a praise report.
Okay, let's hear it, girl.
This is Angelica. This past week or so, the Lord delivered me in a mighty way of physically, I think, as well as spiritually, of doubt and unbelief that I've been struggling with for a long time. And he's just been just really pulling me out of it. And it was a hard thing, but it was something that was just needed, and I've been blessed for it. And my son as well, we believe by faith that he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We prayed for him concerning his ADHD that we just don't claim anymore. But I'm just seeing a difference in him, and just more joy between the two of us. And so I just praise the Lord for that, just for faith. And so I thank the Lord.
Amen. Let me tell you a little story. A couple here that was back in Arkansas with me, Sandy and Jeff, they looked after a 21-year-old boy at the time who had the mind of a 2-year-old. And they, you know, they had to do things with him just like you do a baby, had to feed him and all this stuff. And the doctor said there was no hope for this guy. He's always going to be like that, that he'd never talk. He'd never put two and two together, you know, and that kind of thing. And he'd always be like a baby. And during the time that they had him, they would pray for him and keep believing God for him. And he was where that he could not carry on a conversation so much as they could understand what he wanted by his actions and things like that. And he would say certain words by the time that they had to give him up, back up, you know, to come over here. And then she had a dream about him that during the tribulation or after they had moved here, that this guy, this boy at 21, that was four years ago. So he'd be around 25 now, that he showed up at their doorstep with another guy that was just like him, but they were completely healed. God had completely healed, and they were out evangelizing. And so God can do anything, you know.
Praise
and I believe that's going to happen. I really believe that's going to happen because she's got great faith.
So yes, I believe that's going to happen too. I have a sister who's she's born normal, but she got meningitis and cerebral palsy and mental retardation. But I believe that the Lord is not going to forget or leave behind these children who are, you know, who have just been under the curse and who are suffering. But I believe the Lord's going to heal them.
Well, I'll tell you something, Angelica. If we praying and we believe in for them, it's going to happen. Praise God. Sandy had a dream just the other day that she found herself back out in California. That's where she's originally from. And she was out there in one of her neighborhoods and she knew that she had been translated out there, and she was trying to get some people to come to go with her. I think one was her I forget, some kin folks. And so when she finally found herself back in Tennessee, translated back in Tennessee, not only did one or two of those people that she went to see came with her, but 70 others came with her in this dream. So, you know, don't put God in a box because he can do anything. I believe it too.
I believe it.
So, you know, he told us, through Jesus. Jesus told us that the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. And if you look in John, he translated a whole ship across the waters to a dock, you know, a landing. They were here, and the next thing you know, they was there. And so if he can do that, he can pull off anything. So we don't need to sell him short.
No. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got a praise report or testimony or would like to pray about something?
Michael.
Yeah, Jackie.
I'd like to pray for my dog. He just threw up unexpectedly a whole bunch. So if that's okay, I just want to pray over him.
Well, I hate that when it happens, don't you? Well, Lord, we lift up Spot to you, Lord, and we thank you that he is healed. We command this, whatever it is that discomforted his stomach, to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that he is healed. He's not under the curse either, because Jackie's in charge. And we thank you, Father, that that dog is healed, and he ain't going to do that no more in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Jackie?
Amen, I do. And I just want to praise the Lord for my dog being such a faithful companion to me, and that he has given me authority in this household over Spot. So thank you, Father. Love you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Spot's healed. Amen.
All right. Anybody else with a praise report, a testimony, or would like to pray about something?
Well, I guess I'd like to thank the Lord for being so faithful lately with me, because I had to take on a different job for a few weeks, actually a couple months here, helping where I work out. They wanted me to step up and supervise, and I really wasn't too excited about it, because I knew it requires a lot of my time, more time than I wanted to give, because I just soon stay active in the Word and read more, but it kind of draws me away. I'm a little more distracted now with work than I want to be. But the Lord's been really faithful. He's been keeping me close to him. He's been just giving me all sorts of signs around me all the time with the clocks, you know, seeing the different time, 144 and 888 and just 333 a lot, just, you know, for promises, the promise of the Lord. And giving me revelation once in a while. I've been able to share here with UBM. It's just been kind of wonderful with the fellowship here when I'm on. I mean, I have to apologize for being kind of tardy lately, because sometimes I'm just so tired I got to go to bed. So I got to get up earlier than I normally do. But he has been really faithful and holding me true and keep me in the body here. And I love that, because it's just, I think once he has you and you're his child, he cherishes that. And I really love him and cherish him for that. So I just want to give the Lord praise and honor for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural energy for David in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Yes, this is Vanessa. I'd like to thank the Lord for upholding me today. At work, I was feeling bad, and I actually thought in the morning I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I prayed and just believed him that by his stripes I was healed, and he really upheld me, and I felt a lot better, all the way better, really, by the afternoon. So thank you, Father, for that, and that your hand is on me and on all
Amen.
Of us as we trust in you. So thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power in all of us. Thank you,
yes,
Father.
Father.
All right, anybody else? All right, Shalonda, you want to share your word that you got from the Lord the other day? All right. Go ahead.
I can find it. So I asked the Lord if Planet X was going to happen in September or October, and I got Daniel 3:19 and Proverbs 3:11. You want me to see the verses? I gotta find it. One moment.
Shalonda, give us those references again.
Proverbs 3:11 and Daniel 3:19. I was going to read it. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. So this is Daniel 3:19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And then I got Proverbs 3:11.
Let's talk about Daniel 3:19 first, okay? Let's see what we got here. Let me get it on the deal here. Daniel 3. 19. Okay. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat that furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Well, y'all know the story. 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Well, that's tribulation coming up. That's that fiery test, right, Vanessa, that the Lord showed Vanessa here a while back. The fiery test that's going to be in August. Get people ready. So I believe that's what we're seeing here. He was full, the Nebuchadnezzar, head of the Egypt, the head of the world, full of fury and form. He was going to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in because of their disobedience to his word, which they did not pay any attention to because it was against God's word. And God backed them up. And that's what's going to happen with the bride. God's going to back them up all the way through the tribulation. Praise God. Okay. Anybody see anything else there? All right. Shalonda, go ahead with Proverbs 3 and 11.
Okay. So then I got Proverbs 3, 11. My son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah, neither be weary of his reproof.
Amen. And then 12, which is part of it, for whom the Lord loveth, he reproveth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Okay, when we get chastened by the Lord, then we know he loves us. And so what do? We're supposed to glorify him, aren't we? We're supposed to thank him for these trials that he puts us through in order to work out patience in us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, so this Planet X is coming through. The Lord is preparing us for the destruction and the revival that's fixing to happen, I believe. Amen. Thank you, Shalonda. Anything else?
Oh, I had a dream about Planet X, too.
Okay, let's hear it.
In the dream, I had talked to this friend who had quit working at Little Caesars in Chicago. And I was happy for her. Then somehow I ended up driving on a road. And on the road, I saw this girl in the car next to me, but she was driving in the opposite direction. And she had her hair dyed, but the ends were like red. But the rest of her hair was just a natural hair color. Then what I saw was I was driving, but my hair was like in crochet braids, but they were blonde. My eyes were a light green color. And my lips were painted red with lipstick. Then in the dream I had asked Jesus, I told Jesus that I was talking to Jesus, and I told him that I would do anything that he wanted me to do, so he wanted me to take out the braids, and I told him that I would. Then I ended up looking up through the window sill of the car, and I saw the sky was like a really pretty blue, and the sun was on my right. It was really huge, but then there was this other star on my left. And I did a double take, and I looked back to the right to make sure the sun hadn't moved, and it hadn't. So when I looked back to my left, it seemed like the star was getting closer and closer. And what popped into my mind was Planet X, and then I woke up.
Okay. Well, it's coming. I believe it. I believe it's coming. I think he was also telling us to kind of... cut back on our, you know, making us look pretty. Not so much as, well, I don't know how to say it. You know, he tells us in the Word not to wear a whole lot of jewelry and not to wear a whole lot of things to draw attention to us. So maybe that's what he's saying. I don't know. Anybody got anything else on that?
If I could talk about what I picked up from David when he met his last... what he said Sunday was Planet X was not as big as we might think it might be. It's not as quite the size of the sun. So that's interesting when he said that. So be interesting to see what this does when it does come by.
Well, yeah, no, it never, I don't think anybody's ever said it was going to be as big as the sun. It actually, I think what they said was that it was going to be as, maybe as a little bigger than Jupiter, if I'm not mistaken, something like that, which actually would be real, real, real small as compared to the sun. Sun is huge. Good gracious. So, you know, I don't know, but I do know this, that from what we can tell, Gil Broussard has said in the past, is this thing is going to be carrying a lot of trash behind it. And that's what's going to cause havoc for a long time afterwards, is that trash that it's dragging along behind it, the meteors and asteroids and all of that stuff that's pulling behind it, that the gravitational pull of it has dragging behind it. So we'll see what happens.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when I asked about Planet X, I got a word.
Okay, Anna, go ahead.
This is the prayer of triumph that Habakkuk sang before the Lord. Oh, Lord, now I have heard your report, and I worship you in awe for the fearful things that you're going to do. In this time of our deep need, begin again to help us, as you did in years gone by. Show us your power to save us. In your wrath, remember mercy.
All right. Give me that reference again. It's Habakkuk what?
It's Habakkuk 3 and verse 2.
Okay. All right. Habakkuk 3 and verse 2.
Yeah.
O Lord, I have heard the report of thee and am afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Well, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, that's it. That's another one. We want his mercy and his grace, don't we? And the way we do that is staying in his stead. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else see anything there? Thank you, Anna. Anyone else?
Michael? Yeah, Michael, I got, when I asked, I got Habakkuk 2 and verse 5 and 6, but you really need to go back because the whole thing is about Habakkuk complaining to the Lord about, you know, not answering him. And so I'll just start on verse 2 and read through probably verse 7. And Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablet, and he may run that readeth it. For his vision is set for the appointed time, and it hasteneth toward the end, and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Yea, moreover, wine is treacherous, a haughty man that keepeth not at home, who enlargeth his desire as Sheol, and he as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth upon him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long, and that layeth himself with pledges? Shall they not rise up suddenly? Shall they bite thee and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booty unto them? Because thou hast plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence done to the land, to the city, and to all that dwell therein. So I guess you could say in places in there, he's talking about Babylon or America, and that the judgment is coming, because they, forget what verse it was, they go after land that wasn't really theirs. And also in chapter 1, he said the same thing. And I know from one of David's teachings, David said that we had to look at the Chaldeans as being the U.S. So it kind of fits what's probably coming.
Amen. It hasteth toward the end. It shall not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. Well, praise God. We've been hearing about that for some time, hadn't we? Thank you, Lord.
Yep.
And the thing is that these apostate religions are going to be surprised by it. And a lot of them are going to come to Jesus because of it. I pray that they do anyway. Okay. Thank you, Marlon. That's a good one. Anybody else?
Michael? I got Isaiah 13, verses 4 and 5. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. They come from a far country, from the far end of heaven, the Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. And then verse 6 says, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty.
You know what I'm seeing here? It's the exact same thing that goes on in the morning prayer meeting. David will ask for everybody to get a word about one something thing, and invariably everybody will have something that adds to it along the way. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
That's another good one.
Could you please give those references again, please? I missed that.
Mine was Isaiah 13, verses 4 through 6.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. And then actually, verse 7 says, therefore, all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. That was down to verse 9.
Yeah. Amen. That's a good one.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. Doesn't leave anything to wonder about, does it?
No.
Amen. And that's what the Lord has promised to do to people who won't come against a government that embraces homosexuality and transgendered this and Islam that and what have you. It's just, he's going to wake up a nation of on fire Christians. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a nation of on fire, actually a world of people who are going to be on fire for God, because they don't have any other place to go but to God for the most part. A lot of people are going to have to die in order for this to happen, and the Lord knows that. He wants us to pray for our family members and the friends that we've been praying for and to believe for. So praise God. Amen. Another good one. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
I got Jeremiah 25. My finger was on verse 7, but I'm going to read from verse 4 through 11.
Okay.
And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, return ye now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers from of old and even forevermore, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord. that ye may provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. That was the one I got.
Amen. Well, there's another one. Babylon, of course, being the USA, and Nebuchadnezzar, of course, you know who that might be. You know, I believe that we're going to see some David. I think David talked about it the other day. It's the Muslim uprising in this country to have a false flag so that they can declare martial law because of what's happening to Hillary right now. I don't know. You know, it looks pretty bad if you're looking in the natural, but if you're looking in the spiritual, you know what's happening. And we just get closer to God, don't we? That's a good one, Gaynold. That's a good one. There's a lot in that one. There's a lot in all of them, but this one right here has got a lot in it as well. Anybody see anything in there that they'd like to talk about?
Yeah, what was that passage again?
That was Jeremiah 25, verses 4 through 11, I believe. Okay, anyone else?
Yes, Michael. I wasn't on this the last time, so I didn't ask about Planet X, but I was waiting on the Lord, and I heard him say many things must happen, and I asked him what things, and I got Matthew 27:51, and it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints that have fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared unto many.
You hear that, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. The veil of the temple was written too. That was the resurrection of Jesus. This is the resurrection of the man-child ministry right here. And then at the resurrection of the man child, the tombs were opened. Many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep. Listen, you may have people coming around you that you thought were dead. They're going to be coming around and be evangelizing for God, looks like. Mm-hmm. We'll see. They mm-hmm. appeared into the holy city and appeared unto many. A lot of people got shook up that day, didn't they? Glory to God. That'll make a revival. Mm-hmm. That'll bring a revival. I guarantee it. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. That's good, Vanessa. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Anybody else? Boy, these are good.
Hello?
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I got Ruth 4:13. That's actually pretty interesting around there, too. But it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son.
Amen. So the bride and the bridegroom, or the church, and the Lord gave her conception, she bare a son. What do you see, Andrew?
Well, I think that the man-child ministry is going to be going.
Amen.
And,
the Lord looks that way.
Ruth would be, I guess, the bride.
Amen. He's the bride. Boaz is representative of the Lord. And, of course, the bride being the church, and the man-child comes out of the church and leads the bride into the tribulation. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That was a good one. Anybody else? Anybody else get a word? Okay, I'm trying to look up what I had. Oh, mate. Anybody else get something they'd like to share while I'm looking this up? Okay, I got Ezekiel 24. Nine through 14. Got this the other day, so that's why I had to go back and look. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city. I also will make the pile great. Heap on the wood, make the fire hot. Boil well the flesh, and make thick the broth, and let the bones be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that it may be hot, and the brass thereof may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the rust of it may be consumed. She hath wearied herself with toil, yet her great rust goeth not forth out of her. Her rust goeth not forth by fire. In thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have cleansed thee, and thou wast not cleansed. Thou shalt not be cleansed from thy filthiness any more, till I have caused my wrath toward thee to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And it shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doing shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Amen. A lot of destruction and death coming our way, coming the world's way. Nothing. It's going to be a great time for God's people. I know it sounds like bad things, but oh my goodness, can you imagine going out and getting translated to somewhere and bringing 70 people back with you to be discipled? Glory to God. Oh my, that'd be awesome. We've appointed Sandy as transportation director. Okay. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share before I get into a prophetic word here?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
Well, when we had our morning prayer, the verse that I got for that day was Jeremiah 51:47, and I thought it was pretty awesome. It said, therefore, behold, the day come that I will execute judgment upon the graven image of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all of her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the next verse was, then the heavens and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for joy over Babylon, for the destroyer shall come unto her from the north with, saith the Lord. Those two verses.
Amen. Right on.
Yep.
That was right on. Thank you, Lord. 51, you said 47?
Yes. Jeremiah 51:47.
Okay. The destroyer. Y'all know who the destroyer is. That's Planet X. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Well, I was looking on the somebody sent it to me, and I've seen it before, but I wanted to read it to y'all. Y'all may not have seen this or read it, so I'm going to relate it. It's a prophetic word from Dr. Patricia Green, and she prefaces this with a word that she had back in 2008, where the Democratic race between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. At that time, there was no election at that time that she received this. She said, when I received this word from the Lord, Hillary Clinton was slightly ahead in the Democratic race. Barack Obama will win the Democratic nomination, and he will be the next president of the United States of America. That's what the Lord told her. And she said, I quickly said, Lord, do you expect me to vote for a man who supports abortion and homosexuality? And the Lord told her, said, child, I did not tell you to vote for him. I'm telling you, he will be the next president of the United States. Barack Obama is a fork-tongued devil. Your country has been pushing for abortions and homosexuality. So I am giving you a president who will promote abortions and homosexuality. But be rest assured, my hand of judgment will come against your nation while he is president. Well, he doesn't have too many more months before he's out, does he? So it must be going to happen fairly soon. Okay, now this is a tsunami dream that she had. This is the first of two dreams. She said, these next two dreams and visions occurred within 10 days of each other, and they pertain to the United States. In this dream, my husband and I were traveling in a vehicle in North Carolina. We were driving up a mountain road when we saw a policeman with his blue light flashing as a warning signal. He had stopped traffic, which prevented us from proceeding up the mountain. In the dream, I got out of the vehicle and walked up the steep mountain road, and the officer motioned for me to stop. And then all of a sudden, a large wave rolled over the crest of the mountain and was heading towards me. I placed my back to the wave and was able to ride on the crest of it until it washed me back to the bottom of the mountain. And at that moment in the dream, I knew that the Atlantic Ocean had washed in as far as this mountain in North Carolina. That's a long ways, y'all. In this second dream, which occurred 10 days later, I was at a beach on the East Coast. There were many people at the beach enjoying the sand, the sun, and the ocean. And there were some college-aged boys who carried a couch and a rug to the edge of the shoreline as a joke. I warned them that the tide would come in and it would wash their couch away. They just ignored me and laughed. And then all of a sudden, I saw this massive wave that was taller than the hotels and buildings, and it was poised to crash into the beach. In all my life, I have never seen a wave this high at the beach or in pictures. It towered above the tops of buildings. This third tsunami dream, the third warning about this massive wave, came in a vision. In the vision, I was walking side by side with the Lord in heaven, and he spoke these words to me. Patricia, I want to show you some things. And Jesus parted the clouds so I could see on the earth below. I saw myself on the earth, and there was a mighty wave rising up ready to crash on the shoreline. Before this mighty wave hit, I was lifted up. The wave was hundreds of feet tall. And then Jesus spoke these words to me. This wave will hit the East Coast. Warn the people to get out. This mighty wave will devastate coastal cities and will wash inland for many miles. Florida will be decimated. Washington, D.C. will be underwater. Somebody's not muted. New York Harbor will flood the city. In North Carolina, the water will come as far as the mountains. The water will not go beyond the Appalachian Mountains. There are those who will not believe what you are reporting. They will perish in the wave. Millions of people will lose their lives. Nothing of this magnitude happens on the earth unless I speak it through my prophets. I have shown many of my prophets this tsunami, and they are also reporting it will happen. She says, the Lord did not give me a day or even a year when this massive tsunami wave will hit. He just instructed me to warn people. And as a prophetess of the world, Lord Most High, I am posting this warning for all to see. Many will think it can never happen, and they will not heed this warning. But those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of Understanding has revealed will take the necessary action to be safe. Ask the Lord to give you his answer through his Spirit. Three devastations coming to America. She says the Holy Spirit also spoke this prophetic message. The United States of America is about to swing into a new season. At first, it will be a prosperous time, but it will be short-lived. Next, it will be a season of devastation from all directions. The first devastation will hit, and when she is reeling from that one, the next will be right behind its heels. When it looks like it cannot get any worse, indeed it will. This series of devastating events will cripple your nation and bring her to her knees. She will realize that she is no longer the powerful nation she once was. Look to the skies, and you will see the first devastation. Look to the seas, you will see the next devastation. Look to the earth, you will see the third devastation. Ah, the Lord of heaven, the earth, and the beneath the earth have spoken. Well, let's look at that just a second. Look to the skies and you will see the first devastation. That could be Planet X with a meteorite or an asteroid or whatever it is coming down and hitting the Atlantic Ocean and causing the tsunamis, which would cause, that would be the second devastation, which would be the seas, the tsunami. And then the next one would be the earthquake, the East Coast earthquake, and then the New Madrid, and then the West Coast. All right. National distress and martial law for America. The Lord said, I want to show you things that will happen in the United States of America during these years of tribulation. It will be a time of great national distress. All these things will occur in the final years before I return. And this is what was revealed to me through the Holy Spirit. There will be dams that break, which flood the lands and the people below. Hoover Dam will be one that breaks. Power supplies will be cut off to major cities, and it will plunge people into darkness. I saw a vision of a huge ash cloud, and bits of debris were falling to the earth. I saw tall buildings crumbling to earth in a heap of rubble, much like the Twin Towers collapsed. I saw bridges collapsing and falling into the waters below. Causeways that connected islands to the mainland were collapsing, leaving people stranded on islands without food or supplies. I saw deep fissures in the earth's surface as a result of great earthquakes. Universities, colleges, and schools were shut down because of the national disasters. Many people were dying because medicines were scarce during this time. I saw people being killed with guns. The Holy Spirit said that martial law would replace the civil law of the land. The imposition of martial law would mean the suspension of civil rights, and civil law would be replaced by military authority. There would be curfews, roadblocks, and checkpoints to maintain order and control. an executive order signed by President Obama has already broadened the government's power to enact martial law, even in peaceful times. The United States of America will fall because of her wickedness. I raise nations up and I take nations down according to my will. I bless nations that follow my commands, and I curse nations that disobey my commands. All that will happen to your nation will be a result of your nation's sin. Hey, Bill, do you know where your mute button is, buddy?
No, sir.
All right, I'll mute you, and when you want to talk, just hit star.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. All that will happen to your nation will be a result of your nation's sin. As a nation, you have clamored for rights. People say that those rights are a freedom when in fact it is a bondage. Homosexuality is not a civil right. It is bondage to sexual impurity that destroys the covenant of marriage that I established. Abortion is bondage because of the emotional destruction that comes from taking the life of an innocent child. Sin is bondage, and all sin is abhorrence to me. The United States of America is a whelp. I gave her birth to be an ally of Israel. The United States will decrease, and Israel will increase in the end. At the end of the age, there will be no greater nation than Israel. I will cause events to happen that will diminish the power and influence of the USA. People will say this cannot happen, but indeed it will happen, because I have spoken it. Nations that had great power in the past ages no longer exist because I declared their demise. You are a modern-day Jeremiah. You will declare these things, and the people will scoff at you and say, you have not heard from me. But truly, I say to you, these things will happen before I return. Do not fear to speak my truth. I am all powerful. I can wipe out a nation with my breath. With my voice, I can flatten mountains, move islands, and create earthquakes, floods, and famines. Man is frail compared to my great power. And with my outstretched hands, I protect, provide, and possess my chosen and holy people. And I want you to know that no matter what I show you about these end times, you are in the palm of my hands. Do not fear or worry. Just know that I am with you, and I will bless you and your family. With famine, pestilence, and disease strike the nations, I will protect, provide for my children. There will be a distinction between my people and those of the world. Tell my people not to fear, because I am in control. In the end, the righteous will flow. I'm sorry. The righteous will shine as bright as the morning sun, and the wicked will perish. I am preparing my people so they do not die from the sword, the pestilence, and the famine. I want to talk just a minute about what he's saying here, that the United States will decrease and Israel will increase in the end. Now, I'm not sure that the Lord, I don't know where her theology is. I don't know a whole lot about her. But I'm wondering if that might not be talking in the spiritual, that Israel, being the church, will increase in the end. As you all know, that's what's going to happen, because the power of God is going to be real evident. And the people of the world are not going to like the Christians. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see about that. I don't know. We'll see. Many will get saved during this horrible time. The fear that the end is near will cause people to seek out Christians for truth. Just know that all must proceed as Holy Scriptures has stated. The sword will be the nuclear war. The famine will result from the drought when I withhold the rain. The pestilence will be a new strain of a disease that is not known, and there will not be a cure. It will quickly kill people like the Black Plague. The war will last 5 years, and the famine will quickly follow. My children will need wisdom to survive this tribulation. Food will be scarce, but my children will be prepared for the famine. You know how we're prepared? Because we can pray and believe God, right? We're going to use faith in the times ahead. When there's not food, there's food because we have faith, right? There's manna from heaven. She says the landscape of America is about to change. There will be many signs I perform as a warning to your nation. The waterways will become poisonous. The hills will begin to tremble. The stars will lose their brilliance. Your sun will begin to emit flashes of radiation. It's already doing that. Weather patterns will change. My hand is on the weather. These things will not happen by chance, because I will cause them to happen with my outstretched arm. Most meteorologists have an explanation for the weather phenomena, but during this time, it will defy all human reasoning until people come to the realization that I am God and I am in control. They will be confused about the weather events that will occur on this earth. In the north, there will be warmer temperatures. In the south, there will be flooding. In the west, there will be earthquakes. In the east, the seas will roar with extraordinary force. The central plains will see a great hurricane that will dump great amounts of rain. The landscape will change. The Appalachians will be the furthest point east before the Mississippi River expands its boundaries. The oceans will come as far as the Rockies in some areas. The Grand Canyon will begin to fill with water. Lake Michigan and Lake Huron will combine to form one large body of water. The geological plates will shift. Hell is expanding. Tell the people that hell is expanding. This saddens my heart. I never created hell for mankind. Those in rebellion and disobedience to their Creator will be eternally damned. The landscape of America is about to change. I will establish cities of refuge for the ones who know me intimately. These cities will be a place of safety under my wing of protection. Call to me, and I will show you and guide you to a city of refuge in these perilous times. Stay close to me, and I will instruct you. In the dark of night, some will have to flee. My angels will protect you, and my spirit will guide you. Do not fear, my little children. I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. The battle, it's talking about war with Russia now. The battle is about to begin. Do not remain silent. Whatever I tell you, shout from the rooftop. War is coming to America. There is wickedness in high places, both in the spiritual realm and the natural realm. They are plotting behind the scenes to take America down. Important information was given to the Russian government regarding the USA. And the Russians will use this information to attack the infrastructure of your nation. Many will hear of this plan, but will ignore it, thinking it can never happen to their beloved nation. There is wickedness in high places in government, banking, and independent companies who line their pockets with gold at the expense of your people. Truth has been suppressed. Your country has become a nation of lies. Darkness is about to overcome your nation. A deep darkness will cover the people because they love the lies and not the truth. But all is not lost. Do not despair, my children, for out of the darkness comes my glorious light. Well, amen. You know, most of this stuff we've all heard before. From David, and the dreams and the visions and the words that we've gotten in the past. And it looks almost identical to the things that we know that are coming. And we also know that we have wicked people in high places that have sold this country down the tubes. And so it's common knowledge. All you have to do is get on the internet and find that out and look and see. The Clintons have sold out a fifth of the uranium that's made in this country to the Russians. That's one thing that we did for $25 million into the Clinton Foundation. And it just on and on and on and on. And the Lord is going to expose these people. We're going to have to go into martial law for a while, it looks like, as David was talking about the other day. Go into martial law for a little while. But how many of you know you're not in martial law, under martial law, when you're under God? When you're walking with God, there is no martial law because you're hid from the martial law, folks. David and I have prayed that God would take us off the map, take us out of any kind of government records, and I believe he's already done it. You can go on Google Earth and you can try to find this house and you can't find it. If God doesn't want you to see it, it ain't there. We've had that happen numerous times, people looking for it and couldn't find it. I've looked for it at times. The Lord was showing me that I could hide anything and go on there and couldn't find it. It was not there. All that was there was a little box that said our address there, but you couldn't see the house. You couldn't see how to get there. So God could, that's what I would be praying if I were y'all, you know, pray that God would hide you from the authorities. Amen. Anybody want to comment on what we just got through reading?
Yeah, Michael, when was that prophecy given?
I'm not sure. Now, if my memory serves me, I think I saw something like 2015 to 14. I don't remember. I don't remember, Marlon. It's on the site there, I think. You could probably go into YouTube and type in Patricia Green, a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit, and or a tsunami dream or something like that, and it'll all show up. I think it was on the Cutting Edge show is where I heard it, that she gave it. What's that guy's name that does that? All right, anybody else? Her name was Dr. Patricia Green. She calls herself a prophet, but you know, that's error.
I just looked it up, and it says May 20th, 2015.
Okay, there you go. May the 20th. Where'd you find it?
I just Googled, like you said, Patricia Green, prophetic word, and the page that came up talks about her latest Bible prophecies, and it says May 20th, 2015. The word from the Holy Spirit during the 2008 Democratic race.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it, between Barack and Clinton, like you spoke of. It's from the Prophecy Club.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? You know, I'm gonna unmute you, Bill. Anybody got anything they'd like to add or ask questions about? You know, I really believe something fixing to happen. We had some word from, as y'all understand, if you listen to the broadcast Sunday night, you understand that the Lord has told us through Bill's dream, Bill Steenland, that the 22nd is the day the door closes for the bride, and that the 23rd and 24th is when the Planet X thing comes through. Now, you know all of this hinges on... We just put it on the shelf and see if it's, we just need to be ready at all times. We don't know if this is actually going to happen, but it sure looks like it. With all, y'all saw the words we got tonight. So praise God. We just see what happens. Just be ready. Be ready. Seek the Lord and run after the Lord.
I have a question.
Okay.
I keep on seeing on the clock 6:11. Does that mean anything? Like, it's been a while. I keep on seeing it over and over and over 6:11.
Don't know. Has anybody got any insight onto that? 6:11.
You tell them.
What's that, Vanessa? You didn't mute yourself. Oh. I heard you.
Barry was just making a joke. I'm sorry.
Oh, you better make sure you're muted before you do that.
Okay.
Anybody got anything on 6:11?
I'm not sure what the 6:11 is about, but I see a lot of it, 7:11, 4:11. And I see a lot of 11 coming up. So I think it's a warning.
Yeah, I somebody told me 11 meant judgment, and what for 6 is the number of man. So I don't know if that's true.
Well, that would bring in martial law, wouldn't it? So maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I hear thundering outside. Must be going to get a rain here shortly. I thought I saw some lightning through the window just a minute ago. That'd be good. Okay, anybody on this prophetic dream that we just got through reading here? Or got anything they'd like to add? A dream that you had or a word that you've gotten?
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to chime in here for a minute. Have you ever heard of a guy named Chuck Youngbrandt? He lives up in Washington, claims to be a prophet and an apostle. He's had many visions, dreams, still does. But today I just got a newsletter from him, and he's quoting his prophecy that God gave him in 1982 that still has not come to pass. But it seems to coincide with what you're talking about and the tiny star and everything. And it's, he calls it the vision of the tiny star, and the reason he calls it that is because when he sees it at first up in space, it looks like just a little dot. But then it gets bigger and bigger as it approaches the Earth. And I'll just read quickly what he has said here. He says, at that time I was taken up in the spirit and saw what looked like a bright star. Time passed quickly in this vision, and the star grew larger and larger until it was obvious that it was heading towards Earth. It was a huge, round, burning object, unlike a comet, and I saw it pass over the Gulf of Mexico heading northwest. As the waters boiled as it flew over the Gulf, and as it passed over Corpus Christi, Texas, the whole city was drawn up into the air and exploded into a blazing fire, consuming the city into a fiery dust. I watched it streak across North America, burning a swath of fire that consumed everything beneath it for 500 miles from the center of the comet. Not knowing what it was, I came to know it as the tiny star. Fireball impacted a mountain in Canada. A city named Calgary was the point of impact, and it was obliterated. The whole earth rocked and rolled when it hit the earth, and massive clouds of fiery dust filled the air. Vision was chilling and terrifying to behold. He claims that this is still yet to come. God has given him this prophecy, this vision, over and over through the years, because so many people have been requesting information about it. His newsletter, he's gone into more detail in this letter about this tiny star vision. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. It just seemed to kind of, I don't know if Planet X is the same thing, or this is a whole different thing altogether to come later. I just don't know.
You know, I read a thing, the article the other day about NASA and the Nuclear Scientific Committee or some such committee like that have gotten together and have pooled their resources about how to shoot something out of the sky that's threatening the Earth, like a meteor or a planet or something like that. And that I saw that just the other day. And if I'm not mistaken, we had a dream or a vision. Somebody had a dream or a vision about a large meteor or a large asteroid. I don't know which one's larger, but one of them that was coming to Earth that they shot and broke it up into small pieces, and it broke up into three small pieces. One landed in the Gulf of Mexico, one landed in the Atlantic, and one landed on land somewhere. So that might have been the one that he saw. I don't know. How do you spell this guy's last name, Bill?
Youngbrandt. He has a website.
Youngbrandt,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've heard of him. I don't know. I'll have to go in there and see. Yeah.
He was on the Prophecy Club years ago, and I had actually met him when I lived in Corpus Christi. He was doing a thing in one of the Holiday Inns. It was a free thing, and I went in there, and pretty interesting, all the stuff that he has to say. He has hundreds and hundreds of prophecies and visions. This is just one of many. And many of them have come to pass, and many yet still have to happen.
Okay, yeah, there's another guy out in New Mexico called Ken Dewey. He calls himself the Desert Prophet, that has an earthquake coming in on the East Coast and dropping D.C. off into a pit, into a crack, and all the evil and wicked congressmen and State Department people and all of those people that are evil will drop it off into it, kind of like the core a Dathan and Abiram scenario. So, I don't know. There's another one to look at. Ken Dawson, or Ken Dewey. Kenny Dewey. The Desert Prophet. I don't know. I don't know if any of these are real prophets or not, you know, but you know, women can have words from the Lord and visions from the Lord. We all know that, but sometimes we get puffed up and want to call ourselves something that we're not, and that's okay. God understands all of that. I just, you know, I don't have a lot of dreams, prophetic dreams. I have a lot of pizza dreams. I don't know. I know Vanessa has a lot. She has a lot of prophetic dreams. Don't know. Gayno probably does. Probably some more of you do that you ought to share them. Because, you know, it's a piece of the puzzle. We all put these pieces together and we find out what God's actually wanting to say to us. You know, in part, and we prophesy in part. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to share about what we talked about or question?
Michael?
Yeah, Claudia, go ahead.
Okay. I was asking the Lord about if the tribulation will start this year, to give me a verse about judgment, just the word judgment in the verse. And I got Ezekiel 39:20-21. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with men, with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So there was the word judgment in there.
Okay, what's that reference again?
Ezekiel 39:20-21.
Okay, and that question you ask is, will the tribulation start this year, right?
Yeah.
If it starts this year, you'd see the word judgment, right?
Right, right.
And you saw the word judgment.
Yeah.
Well, that's another confirmation. We've had other people that did similar things and gotten the same thing, that it is going to start this year.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yeah, amen. When y'all going to move? I'm just saying now.
I don't know. It just seems like every time we think we're going to make it, something else comes up, and it's so frustrating.
Well, you know, God's going to protect you. It makes no difference where you are. God's going to protect you. He may just translate you here.
Well, that's what we're wondering. When we heard that, what you just said not too long ago about something being translated, I thought, Well, yeah, because, yeah, I mean, we can leave the house, but Philip has a business, and we just got wondering what, how we move all that. But, you know, God can do anything.
Yeah, why would you need the business if there's nobody to buy?
That's true. That's true.
You won't need the business and everything. That's there will be plenty here.
Yeah, I know.
You know what's going to happen here. That God's going to move out the ungodly, and there'll be plenty of places for y'all to live, and anybody else, you know, that comes in here. God's going to provide. He's already told us that.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of relatives here, and a lot of them really don't know what's going on. And so I've wondered, well, are we just going to be here a little bit longer just to be with them and to show them some things? I don't know. Because most of our relatives and friends have been involved in the false revival.
Yeah. Can y'all hang on just a second? I need to get this. I'm sorry. I had to take that. That was from Blake. I hadn't heard from him in quite a while, and I wanted to tell him I'd call him back here in about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what's going on?
You talking to me?
I'm anybody. Did I miss anything?
I didn't know if we were still talking or not.
Yeah. Whoever God's got designated to come here is coming here, and they don't have to worry about a thing because God's going to provide. Matter of fact, he's already told us that he's going to furnish. He's going to put in our hands $1 billion. Now, I can't even count that high, so that's enough. You know, God's going to take care of his people, and the people that are discipling other people, he's going to take care of. Praise God.
Yeah, well, we're ready whenever the Lord wants us, believe me.
There you go. There you go. Amen. All right, anybody else? I think these verses are awesome. Matter of fact, I'm going to type them up and send them over to David. He'll probably use them Sunday to solidify some more dreams and stuff that we're getting in. Dreams and stuff are coming in daily about this thing that's fixing to happen. So, you know, I'm getting excited. I'm getting really excited about what God's fixing to do with the mantle. You know, the anointing is one of the first things that happens. It's the anointing, the earthquake, and all that stuff. All that stuff happens pretty close to one another. Amen. Y'all know that Jesus is stronger than the devil, don't you? There's a force in Luke's gospel that talks about Jesus casting out demons. When he was accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub, remember the Sadducees and the Pharisees accused him of that? What did he say? He said, "And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out?" He's talking to them in the future, you see. "Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. And he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." Well, let's take a look at that force that we're talking about there. One thing that you can see here is that Jesus was calling the devil the strong man when he was spoiling the devil's kingdom. That word "man" is actually not in the original. It actually says in Luke chapter 11 and verse 21, "When the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace." And what's those goods? Aren't they the things the strong has been given authority over in this world? The court represents his kingdom where he, the strong, rules and reigns. That's what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 11 and 21. When the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, who was that? That was Jesus. He taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted. So Jesus took authority over him and took it all away from him, didn't he? Jesus took the devil's armor. A stronger one than the devil came on him and took away from him his whole armor wherein he trusted. Y'all know the devil doesn't have any armor, don't you? His kingdom has not one piece of armor. They have no protection against the authority that God's given to us, every one of us. The protection for the demons has already been taken away from them. Colossians 1 and 13 says, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And then in Luke 10 and 19, listen to this. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. The Lord gave us that authority. That's something that's already been accomplished. It's not something that we have to accomplish. It's already been accomplished. That whole armor has been taken away from the devil. In Colossians 1 and 13, God has given us authority to partake of everything that Jesus did at the cross. The Bible says he made us able. Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet. That word meet means able. Y'all probably already know that. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Whatever a saint in light is entitled to, God made us able to partake of that. If you think you lack ability, you're wrong. You need to study the scriptures. God made us able in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 16. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4 and 13. That's through what Jesus did. He made us able to be a partaker in whatever we need. He made us able to take that club of the sword and plunder the devil's kingdom. And that's wherever the devil rules or his curse reigns. Wherever the devil has ability, we have the ability to snatch it away from him. Because God does it. Colossians 1:13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That devil has no power and he has no ability against what God has given us. Not one thing does he have against us other than our unbelief. That's the only thing that allows the devil to come against us is our doubt and unbelief and double-mindedness. So that's where God wants us. He wants us walking into this tribulation with humbleness of heart, meekness of heart, but knowing who we are in Christ, taking authority over all the spiritual powers and principalities because he's given us that. What did Jesus do? He never went out there and went to screaming and hollering at them devils. He just said, I rebuke you, devil. You know, here's what the word said. As it is written is what he would tell him. As it is written. And that's all we have to do. All we have to know and understand is that we have authority over all the power. Authority gives you authority over that power. A lot of times we forget who we are in Christ. And when we do that, the devil just runs amok, doesn't he? But then we finally get somebody to pray with us, and we get encouraged in the faith, And we go back, get back on track, put that sword out there, the sword of the Spirit, start speaking it, start slanging it at the devil. We'll walk into this tribulation with Jesus at our side and in front of us and behind us and both sides of us. Jesus will get us through. Faith in anything else won't get you through. So let's run after Jesus with all our heart. I read a little piece the other day. E.M. Bounds' book, he wrote a bunch of books on prayer. And I thought it was so right on with today's church. I find it here. Oh, yeah. Won't take but just a minute. I can find it here. This is, you know, if you can't, oh, I was in the wrong chapter, no wonder. If you can get you a book on this, it's very good. E.M. Bounds is the name of it, and it's the Classic Collection of Prayer. He's got 8 books. It's in one book. It's really a real good book on prayer. I have really enjoyed it. He says the spirit of devotion removes religion from being a thin veneer and puts it into the very life and being of our souls. With it, religion ceases to be doing a mere work and becomes a heart, sending its rich blood through every artery and beating with the pulsations of vigorous and radiant life. The spirit of devotion is not merely the aroma of religion, but the stalk and stem on which religion grows. It's the salt that penetrates and makes flavorful all religious acts. It is the sugar that sweetens duty, self-denial, and sacrifice. It is the bright coloring that relieves the dullness of religious performances. It dispels frivolity and drives away all shallow forms of worship and makes worship a serious and deep-seated service that saturates body, soul, and spirit with its heavenly infusion. Let us all ask in all seriousness, as this highest angel of heaven, this heavenly spirit of devotion, this brightest and best angel of the earth, left us? When the angel of devotion has gone, the angel of prayer has lost its wings, and it becomes a deformed and loveless thing. In Revelation 4 and verse 8, we read, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The inspiration and center of their rapturous devotion is the holiness of God. That holiness of God claims their attention and inflames their devotion. There's nothing cold, nothing dull, nothing wearisome about them or their heavenly worship. They rest not day and night. What zeal, what unweary ardor and ceaseless rapture. The ministry of prayer, if it is anything worthy of name, is a ministry of passion, a ministry of unwearied and intense longing after God and after his holiness. The spirit of devotion pervades the saints in heaven and characterizes the worship of heaven's angelic intelligences. No creatures lacking devotion are in that heavenly world. God is there, and his very presence creates the spirit of reverence, of awe, and of godly fear. If we would be partakers with him after death, we must first learn the spirit of devotion on earth before we get there. These living creatures in their restless, tireless attitude after God and their rapt devotion to His holiness are the perfect symbols and illustrations of true prayer and its passion. Prayer must be a flame. Its passion must consume. Prayer without intense emotion is as a sun without light or heat, or as a flower without beauty or fragrance. A soul devoted to God is a fervent soul, and prayer is the creature of that flame. Those only can truly pray who are all aglow for holiness, for God, and for heaven. Praise God. Man, this guy has got some words to say now. E.M. Bounds, Edward McKenna Bounds. He was a lawyer at first. Came out to be a lawyer, and God took him. Civil War broke out. He was in Missouri. And a Northern Army came down and murdered 50 men out of his town for being, you know, subject to the South's cause, so to speak. And he took that and joined the Confederate Army as a chaplain and fought in the Civil War. When I say fought, he encouraged the men right down on the front lines, and he was praying for the men every day he was in battle with them. He wasn't shooting a rifle. He was just encouraging with God's word. He was in the great battle of Franklin, Tennessee, where hundreds and hundreds of maybe thousands of Confederate soldiers were killed in that great battle. They lost the battle. And the North took all the bodies and put them in a common grave. No markers, no anything. And they rounded up the rebels that they didn't kill, put them in concentration camps or put them in camps, you know. And when he finally got out, he went back to Missouri, but he went back after a while. He went back to Franklin, Tennessee himself and had them dig up every one of those big graves. And the ones he could identify, I don't know how he identified them, but the one he could identify, he put a tombstone with their name on it. And the ones he could not, you know, he just put a tombstone there and put unknown soldier. And that graveyard is still, it's in the historical registry over in Franklin, Tennessee now, where the people that that owned the land that the battle was fought on, gave Bounds 30 acres there, I believe it was, to put that cemetery on, and they had a little house there as well. It's still there today. It's on the National Registry. And then, of course, he went on to serve God in various capacities as pastor, and then finally he just retired and went to writing book. But he was a great writer, and really actually didn't. I don't know. It was a good, these are good books, and I have thoroughly enjoyed them. I've read in most of them already, and going back through them again, it's just good. Good reading for someone who loves to read about prayer and learn about prayer. Good book for that. It's a good teaching tool. Also, Andrew Murray is the same way. So with that, let's see if anybody's got anything they want to share before we close out tonight. I want to thank everybody for getting this their words. I am going to write them up and send them to David, and he'll probably be using them on Sunday's broadcast. I doubt he'll have enough time to get it tomorrow, but he'll probably use them Sundays. But anyway, Father, we just thank you for the work you're doing in all of us, Lord. We thank you. We're believing by faith that we're all going to be in the bride, Lord. We ask that you put that hunger in us, Lord, to run after you. with all our hearts, Lord, and to pray this fervent prayers for our family members and for each other. Lord, I thank you for that. That you're placing that gift, that spirit of prayer and intercessor in each one of us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the prayers that we prayed today that you've already answered, Lord. And I praise you for that, and I thank you for it. Lord, I ask that you protect us, provide for us, and move us when the time comes that we need to be moved to a place of safety. Lord, I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it. And I just thank you beforehand, Lord. And I thank you for everybody that participated tonight. And I ask, Lord, that you bless them mightily. And those that, and that was everybody that was here, Lord. And those that are going to be listening later on, Lord, I ask that you bless them too with great spiritual knowledge, Lord. And I thank you for it. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. And I thank you for this rain that's coming our way. I thank you, Lord, for a good soaking rain. We need it. And we praise you and we glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, good night, saints, and God bless you.